Good morning. It's good to be here this morning. It's exciting to be here this morning. This morning we have an exciting message. It's one of those messages where there's parts of it that want to make you jump up and down, and there's parts of it that want to make you tremble in fear. And so, but for the Christian, it's good news. So, hey, for all of us, it's good news. I hope, I pray that it is good news. But there are some parts of this that are not so good news. And again, this morning we're going to take a dive into wisdom. And this morning we want to look at, my message is called Wisdom's Plea. Wisdom's Plea. What is wisdom? Is wisdom just something that's inanimate, doesn't do much for us? Or is it active? And that's the one thing I discovered as I was studying this morning. We're going to be looking at Proverbs 1, verses 20 to 33. Wisdom's plea. And so what is wisdom? I wanted to look at that again this morning. What is wisdom? Wisdom is instruction in how to carefully consider all circumstances and possible consequences. And isn't that what we really want to do? We want to look at everything in life, and we want to know, we look at carefully. And this is wisdom is instruction. It tells us how to carefully consider all of our circumstances and the possible consequences. Godly wisdom reveals the true circumstances and the true consequences of what is happening around us, and the true circumstances and the true consequences of our decisions. Godly wisdom will do that. Satan loves to hide those things. He wants to hide the consequences. He wants to gloss over the consequences of the things that are happening around us and the decisions that we make about those things, that, oh, you can do what you want to, and it'll be okay. The other thing about wisdom is that it's not a one-time acquisition. We don't just get wisdom one day. You just go and put, you know, you put the thumb drive in there, you download it, and you got it. You're good to go. It's not how wisdom works. But it's a daily commitment to walk according to the Word of God, because really the Word of God is what we use to have this, to give us the instruction to look at each thing. Solomon did not finish strong. And we're looking at Solomon's words here, but he did not finish strong because he neglected God's word. And when someone strays from that course, he will inevitably stray from wisdom. Finishing strong requires daily application of God's word to our lives. Biblical wisdom is practical. So often we think of it as being some highfalutin thing, but biblical wisdom is actually practical. So it can be seen in our daily decisions and in our personal lifestyles. And it's not just a merely a collection of knowledge, but it's something that we use every day on all the decisions that we make or should be using. The other thing that's pretty great about this, godly wisdom is not something that we need to go to college to get. We don't have to go, as it says in Deuteronomy, it's not across the ocean. We don't have to send somebody over there to get it. It's not up in heaven. We don't have to send anybody up there to get it, but it's here. It's easily accessible. We have God's word with us today. So don't need a college degree or a master's degree to find it and to understand it. What we need is the fear of the Lord. It says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Repenting and accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior is all you need to open the door to wisdom and knowledge. And one of the things that I had to think about wisdom and knowledge is, I don't know how many of you know what a library is. I imagine of an old library. Back in when I was young, you used to go to the library, and if you wanted to find a book, you had to go, you went to this big box, had a whole bunch of little drawers, and you went to A, you found, and you went through and you found the author. And then that tells you where it is in the library. And I'd imagine wisdom is kind of like that. You know, when we have a question about something, we go to God's word and we go, what does God say about this? We go to the drawer, we look at, oh, okay, this is where God talks about this. And we go to the library and we find it, we read the book on it, and it helps us make a decision. That's how I look at wisdom. When we have a question, we find where in the Bible we need to go look at that, research that, and dig into it, and then use that for the basis of our decisions. And do we do that? Do I do that often enough? So repenting and accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior is all you need to open the door to the wisdom and knowledge. It's the key to that library. Because really, you can read God's Word, and if you don't know Jesus, it really doesn't mean much to you. But you need to know Jesus. You need to repent and accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Walking in His ways and keeping His commandments, His statutes, and His judgments daily is how we grow in wisdom and knowledge. So let's read Proverbs chapter 1, verses 20 to 33, and then we'll come back and take a dive into some of those verses. And I love the first two verses about wisdom. Wisdom calls aloud outside. She raises her voice in the open squares. She cries out in the chief concourses at the openings of the gates of the city. She speaks her words. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? For scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn at my rebuke. Surely I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. Because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no one regarded. Because you disdained all my counsel and would have none of my rebuke, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your terror comes. When your terror comes like a storm and your destruction comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me. What terrifying words those are. Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. And they would have none of my counsel and despised my every rebuke. Therefore they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled to the full with their own fancies. For the turning away of the simple will slay them, and the complacency of the fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will dwell safely and will be secure without fear of evil. And as we look at this passage, there's some awesome promises in there. There's awesome promises, and I mean in a fearful way, awesome as in, not like we use the word awesome, but great. There's actually great promises of wisdom. If you ask for wisdom, I'll give it to you. If you reject wisdom, you won't be able to find me. That is an awesome consequence. I don't know if it's a promise. It's a promise. So if we reject God's word, He will not listen to us. That is a promise that we have. And we'll look at these a little more in depth. But verse 20 and 21. Wisdom calls aloud outside. She raises her voice in the open squares. She cries out in the chief concourses at the openings of the gates. In the city, she speaks her words. I love it. Wisdom is not hidden. It's not in some back room. You know, I said it's in the library. Maybe that's a bad analogy. I said it's in the library. Sometimes we think of a library as dusty, dark. But wisdom is out there. She's out in the street. She's calling. Wisdom calls aloud in the public square, suggesting that knowledge of God and wisdom to live according to His principles are readily available to anyone who seeks them. It is the free gift of God given to anyone who requests it. James 1:5 tells us this: if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Notice it doesn't say that if you're rich or poor, or that if you're famous, or if you're popular, you can get it. It says, let him ask of God. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives it to all liberally and without reproach. So where does wisdom call? It calls outside, in the open, in the busiest intersection of town, at the gates coming into the city. So if you want to find wisdom, it's right out there. It's not hidden back in a back alley, back somewhere. She's out in the open. And she's not just trying to hide. How does wisdom call out? As we see this, she calls aloud. Has the idea of shouting out. She raises her voice. She raises her voice in the open squares. She cries out in the chief concourses. And the idea of crying out has the idea of calling by name. When I was reading this, I was just excited. If I want wisdom, I can get it. She's not hiding. I can have wisdom if I want it. Basically, what this is saying, wisdom has to be ignored and tuned out if you don't want it. She's right there. It's out there. It's calling. It's in the main. It's in the open areas. She's not hiding. Doesn't take anything special. Verse 22, how long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? For scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Simple has the idea of being easily seduced or gullible. Proverbs 22:3 says, a prudent man foresees evil and hides himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. Proverbs 7:7, which we're going to get to eventually, says, I have seen among the simple, I have perceived among the youths, a young man lacking sense. But being simple does not have to be permanent. Psalm 19:7 says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Psalm 119, 130 says, the entrance of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. Again, it is God's word that gives us that understanding. Proverbs 14:15, the simple believes every word, but the prudent considers well his steps. What did we say that wisdom was? Wisdom is the instruction to carefully consider all circumstances and possible consequences. The simple believes every word, but the prudent considers well his steps. Acts 17:11. Now these Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. So they received the word and they examined the scriptures. The simple say, I don't need the Lord. You simple ones, how long will you love simplicity? The scorners or the scoffers, how long will you scoffers delight in their scoffing? Psalm 119:51, the proud or the scoffers have me in great derision, yet I do not turn aside from your law. Proverbs 13:1, a wise son heeds his father's instruction, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. And we're going to look at rebuke here in just a little bit. Proverbs 14:6, a scoffer seeks wisdom and does not find it, but knowledge is easy to him who understands. Who understands where knowledge and wisdom come from. Scorners scoff at wisdom. Those things don't apply to me. I won't suffer the consequences. Fools, how long will fools hate knowledge? Proverbs 14:16, a wise man fears and departs from evil, but a fool rages and is self-confident. Proverbs 14:9, fools mock at sin, but among the upright there is favor. And Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Fools hate godly wisdom and instruction. Going on to verse 23. Turn at my rebuke. Surely I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. Rebuke has the idea of chastisement and correction. Wisdom is calling out and telling us what we're doing wrong. Will you listen? We'd be like the simple and the scornful and the fool and not listen. Tune it out. Say, I don't need to hear what you have to say. The idea to turn is the idea to repent. It is to recognize one is heading in the wrong direction and rotate 180 degrees to go the opposite way. True wisdom comes from God alone, and He is eager to pour it forth through His Spirit into our lives. But to receive that outpouring, we must obey what He has revealed to us. Wisdom grows through practical application as we obey God's Word. Jeremiah 8:5-6 is talking about Jerusalem or the Israeli people. Why has this people slidden back, Jerusalem, in a perpetual backsliding? They hold fast to deceit. They refuse to return. I listened and I heard, but they did not speak aright. No man repented of his wickedness, saying, what have I done? Everyone turned to his own course as the horse rushes into the battle. They held fast to the deceit. They refused to return, or they refused to repent. I listened and heard, but they did not speak aright. No man repented of his wickedness. I think an excellent example of somebody that listened to this verse is David. When Nathan came to him and told him the story about the little lamb, he was very, very upset. When Nathan said, that is you, he instantly knew and he repented. There was consequences he suffered from it. But he is the great example of this. Turn at my rebuke. It was God sending Nathan, and David listened. So David was a man after God's own heart. Because he was perfect? No, because he listened to God's rebuke. The reward of turning and repenting is wisdom. Turn at my rebuke, repent. Surely I will pour out my spirit on you, I will make my words known to you. The reward of turning and repenting is wisdom. And then to 24, we start getting into the part that's not so fun to read, especially if you're not a Christian. Because I have called and you refused. I have stretched out my hand and no one regarded. Because you disdained my counsel and would have none of my rebuke. And as I looked at these two verses, wisdom went all out to try to make what's coming up not happen. Listen to this. Because I have called, has the idea of called by name. I've called you by name, and you refused. Held up a hand to stop them. Listen to this. But as I've called you and you refused, I've stretched out my hand and no one regarded. You know, when we're trying to talk to somebody, we say their name and they don't listen, we kind of put our hand up and we make a motion. And we say, hey, hey, hey. And we say their name. That's what wisdom is doing. That's what wisdom is saying. This is what I've done. This is what I've done. I've called out. I've called you by name. I stretched out my hand. And no one regarded it. No one paid attention. Because you disdained all my counsel. So wisdom gave counsel, gave advice. You know, once she had their attention, she said, look, this is what I would advise. This is where you're at. Once she had wisdom, she gave her advice. And you would have none of my rebuke or chastisement. Has the idea of a sharp disapproval or criticism of someone because of their behavior or actions. Said, this is what's going to happen. Notice the progression. Wisdom called by name, and they were refused. Held up a hand to stop them and was disregarded. Gave counsel, and it was dismissed, neglected, ignored. And gave a rebuke, but they wouldn't listen to the warnings. Jeremiah 6:10, to whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Behold, their ears are uncircumcised, and they cannot listen. Behold, the word of the Lord is to them an object of scorn. They take no pleasure in it. That's where these people were. That's what wisdom is saying. So I want you to remember and take special notice of all the steps that wisdom took to not have to come to these next verses as we come to these. Verse 26, I also will laugh at your calamity. And I say this is the consequences of ignoring wisdom. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your terror comes. When your terror comes like a storm and your destruction comes like a whirlwind. When distress and anguish come upon you. Every person has a conscience that convicts him or her of sin. and points to the truth of the gospel. Yet people reject those warnings and spend their lives taking good things from God without thanks, all the while speaking wickedly of Him and refusing to submit to His authority. When the day of judgment comes, those who have rejected God's wisdom may call on Him for relief, but their cries will be met with derision. Then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. Those who reject the knowledge of God demonstrate hatred for knowledge, even though they may think they are knowledgeable and enjoy learning. The only knowledge that counts for eternity is the knowledge of God. Notice again why he points out, God never hides why he does what he does. Never hides it. That's what I love about our God. He never hides anything. Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. You know, Deuteronomy 30, still my favorite passage, where he says, Today I put a choice before you, life and death. And he very clearly spells out what those choices are and what the results are. He never hides anything. Gives us all the warning that we need. They would have none of my counsel and despised my every rebuke. God's rebukes are vital because they are designed to keep us close to Him in walking in the paths of wisdom and righteousness. They are not the harsh punishments of a slave master, but the gentle reproofs of a teacher who wants a pupil to excel. The person who finishes well listens carefully to the rebukes of wisdom. 31, therefore they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own fancies. The Bible makes it very clear that we reap what we sow. Galatians 6, 7, do not be deceived, God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Read a little excerpt here from Matthew Henry. His eye shall not spare, neither will he have pity. Nay, his justice being glorified in their ruin, he will be pleased with it, though now he would rather they should turn and live. That is still God's heart, is that they would turn and listen and live. Now God is ready to hear their prayers and to meet them with mercy, if they would but seek to Him for it. But then the door will be shut, and they shall cry in vain. Then shall they call upon me when it is too late. Lord, Lord, open to us. Then they would gladly be beholden to that mercy which now they reject and make light of. But I will not answer, because when I called, they would not answer. All the answer then will be, depart from me, I know you not. While there is life, there is room for prayer and hope of salvation with repentance. And therefore, this must refer to the inexorable justice of the last judgment. Then those that slighted God will seek Him early, or that is earnestly, but in vain. They shall not find Him, because they sought Him not when He might be found. Isaiah 55, 6. Seek the Lord when He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near, because there will be a time when that is no longer possible. We have an example of that in the rich man and Lazarus. The rich man begged of God, just let me go back. Let me go back and tell them. And he was denied. For the turning away of the simple will slay them, and the complacence of fools will destroy them. So we looked at the consequences of ignoring wisdom. Now we want to close with the exciting part. The consequences of listening to wisdom. Verse 33, but whoever listens to me will dwell safely and will be secure without fear of evil. Listen to those words again. But whoever listens to me will dwell safely and will be secure. What a promise. And this is God's will and desire for each one of us. God wants to guide and lead us. He's not abandoned us in this world of chaos and evil. But He has given us His Word and His Spirit to guide us. We just need to listen. Remember where wisdom is at. It's out in the open. Wisdom calls us by name, tries to get our attention. She will give us counsel for every situation we face and tell us bluntly that we are wrong if need be. This is why when we seek wisdom, we will find it. The good news is this, that God does not abandon his children or leave us to finish the race in our own power. He is constantly at work to keep us on the right path, strengthening our character and faith to become more like Christ. Anyone who listens to the teaching of God will run the race effectively. Again, when I look at wisdom, wisdom is the instruction in how to carefully consider all circumstances and possible consequences. In our message today, I think we have a great example of this. What are the consequences of listening to wisdom? You will dwell safely and securely. What are the consequences of disregarding wisdom? When your terror comes like a storm and your destruction comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 22:3. A prudent man foresees evil and hides himself, but the simple pass on and are punished or face the consequences of that. The prudent man or the wise man, the man that took time to consider. How often do we go through life and not take time to consider the consequences of what we're doing? So what is wisdom's plea? Wisdom's plea is listen, hear, and follow Jesus. That is what wisdom wants from us. Listen, hear, and follow. And I'm excited this morning about the fact that we have this access to wisdom. I don't need special knowledge. All I need to do is love Jesus and follow him with all my heart and go to his word. When there's a decision to be made, when there's a question we have, go to his word. And then there's, if we don't understand, there's people that we can talk to. There's people that will share with us. I love the fact that God does not want us to fight this fight alone. He has, that's why there's a church, that we can help each other along the way. But truly, we need to seek him out. And I'm so excited this morning that we can have the wisdom of God there to help us along the way. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for your wisdom. Father, we thank you for the fact that wisdom is willing to come looking for us, to flag us down. Lord, the beginning of that is to fear you. To fear the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Lord, help us to fear you. Help us to love you. Help us to seek after the knowledge and the wisdom that only you can give. Lord, help us to carefully consider the decisions that we make every day. Sometimes we look at decisions and say, oh, that's not a big decision. But Lord, it can have major consequences. Lord, sometimes we're like the scornful or the simple and think, oh, I won't face the consequences of others that others have faced. But Lord, help us to be wise. Help us to be able to use your wisdom to look at and discern carefully all the circumstances and the decisions in our life. Lord, as we go from here, Lord, help us to share this knowledge with those around us. Lord, the knowledge of Jesus, of knowing Jesus, Lord, the peace that we can have in our hearts. Lord, this world right now is our world. Lord, the world has been in chaos for a long time. But Lord, our world in this Western civilization seems to be changing rather rapidly. Lord, I pray that you help us to look at it, Lord, through your eyes. Lord, not to panic, but to know that you are in control. And we thank you for that this morning. Thank you for your wisdom and for your word. In Jesus' name, amen.